YouTube and good morning Facebook. Today is the 26th of May 2020, and one of the most quoted passages of scripture in the whole Bible, and one of the most loved, is taken from John 3:16. How many of us have heard that over and over and over? And it's interesting because generally they will take two verses and build a whole doctrinal theology on it. I'll read the two verses. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I've had people tell me that that is their theology in a nutshell. Right? And the term world is referred to many times in the Bible. Hello, Rick Batorik, good to see you this morning. I was looking at Martha Reed Garvin the other day. Rick Batorik. I was listening to some of her singing. She's got a beautiful voice. She's very talented, even though she is Arminian. I think she's Nazarene. And she was singing a lot of Arminian songs. But anyway, the problem with having building three, good welcome aboard Kent B. Jenkins, good to have you with us this morning, is that it is not given the full account of Scripture. I've often asked people the question, John 3:16 is, for God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The question is, who are the whosoevers that believe upon him? Who are the whosoevers? I was listening to the New Zion online church to get an idea of what they were teaching, the Rick Wiles group. And Dr. Rick Burkhart, or Doc, they call him Doc Burkhart. I guess he's working on his doctor's degree. But that's what he was preaching. That God so loved the world that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he went on to say that God is not willing that any should perish. Well, he takes that passage in Peter, 2 Peter 2:9, out of context, does he not? Let's look at it real quickly. And many quote the passage in the Old Testament that says, why will ye die, O house of Israel? O house of Israel. Joshua said, who is on the Lord's side? But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Was that just a decision Joshua made based upon his free will? I think not. Joshua was anointed and called by God to do the work that God called him to do. He was a great warrior. And so, anyway, let's look at this passage. It's in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. Does it say he is long-suffering to every man and girl and woman and boy without exception? No. He says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. To usward. Not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. Who is Peter addressing here? Peter is addressing, look at the first verse of that chapter. This second epistle, beloved, I write now unto you. Beloved are those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world. That's the ones that God is not willing that should perish. And if you go back to the first chapter of 2 Peter, he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. That's who Peter's talking about, is those who've obtained like precious faith. And so that gets to the central question of our subject this morning. And that is, who are the whosoevers that believe upon him? And how do they get this faith to believe upon him in the first place? How do they get the faith to believe upon him in the first place? If they're dead in their trespasses and sin, can they just make a decision to choose God? I think not. I think not. They basically, they look at their situation and they make a determination that it would be in their benefit to be a believer in Christ. Is that the way it works? They just choose to execute their free will and choose Jesus and let him into their heart. Poor little Jesus. Just wringing his hands, hoping they'll make the right decision, right? No. The problem with these people that take John 3:16 and 17 as their foundation, by the way, Rick, Martha Reed Garvin, before she started her program, she held up this book that someone sent her. Like I said, this almost all the songs in it were free will, Arminian. And she said, you know, a lot of these songs have really good theology in them. John 3:16. And she quoted John 3:16. Well, to build your theology on one verse in the Bible, when you're leaving out hundreds of verses that talk about God's election, predestination, his adoption, she never talked about any of those things. Isn't that interesting? She never sang about any of those things. Well, look in John 3, briefly. He says in John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God, let alone believe upon it. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does he mean by entering into the kingdom of God? Well, one of the aspects of entering into the kingdom of God is believing. Believing Jesus Christ is who he said he was, the eternal Son of God. Believing he died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Believing that he rose again according to the Scriptures. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel that not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Being born again precedes everything else, including belief, repentance, accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, and all of those things. Well, you know, he says in verse 15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So Christ here teaches that the origin of our faith, to believe, is preceded by the new birth, which most people leave out. When most people quote John 3:16, they leave out the new birth. They don't start out by saying, first of all, whosoever that are going to believe on him are those that have been born again, like Jesus said. They don't start out with that. They start out with the presupposition that everyone can believe on him. Everyone can believe on him. Whether they are born again or whether they're not born again is inconsequential. It's their decision. It's their free will. This is a lie. This is a strong delusion that's talked about in Thessalonians. That he will send them strong delusion that they will believe a lie. You must be born again. Your free will and your decisionism cannot save you. And your free will cannot preserve you. Your free will cannot bring you new life. By the way, you don't have a free will. Scripture says that you're dead in your trespasses and sin. Isn't that what it says? And so the origin of our faith is found in Hebrews 12:2. Let's go there and read that. Hebrews 12:2 shows us the origin, where our faith came from. You know, a lot of theologians want to write the lie that there's a spark of good in everybody. Glimmerings of natural light, they call it. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't believe we're dead in our trespasses and sin, then you don't believe the Bible, because that's what we're told in Ephesians 2. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in their trespasses and sins." Quickened means being born again by the Spirit of God. Well, let's look at Hebrews 12, speaking of the origin of our faith. We'll start with verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God." Jesus authored our faith, and he will finish our faith. We have nothing to claim in this matter. We don't have a part or partial salvation. Jesus paid it all. You know, so all of these people out there that want to come against those who are teaching against the false doctrine of free will, you know, I would say over 80% of Christendom teaches the free will doctrine. And I am here to come against it. And it's to call it as it is, a lie. You know, I've done extensive messages to show that it's a lie. If God was not willing that any man, girl, woman should perish, I'm talking about without exception, then none of them would perish, because God works all things after the counsel of his own will. Obviously, he is willing that the reprobate perish, or he wouldn't create them as vessels fitted for destruction, as were found in Romans 9. Obviously, he's willing that these people perish, because it says, if you want to talk about God's will, Okay, not man's will. That's the problem. People want to pit man's will up against God's will. Well, I can tell you who's going to win out every time. It's not going to be the man. It's not going to be the will of man. And so, if you want to totally deny Scripture, you want to deny the 6th chapter of John, the 10th chapter of John, the 17th chapter of John, Ephesians 1 and 2, almost all of the book of Isaiah, Romans 8, Romans 9, a big part of the book of Revelation, that those whose names are written in the foundation, in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. If you want to totally ignore the scripture that says, therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. That's speaking of his will, not will. God's the one who decides who's going to harden and who he's going to give mercy to. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? This is not a popular message this morning. It's not something that tickles your fancy. It doesn't appeal to the flesh at all. It humbles us and causes us to realize that our only hope is in God's mercy and his grace, not in the free will of man, which doesn't exist. Notice what he says in verse 22. What if God willing, this is God's will. What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And you can say for destruction. Well, I have one question for you. Did they choose to be born and conceived in sin? Did they choose to be born and conceived in sin? Did they choose to even be born? Well, the answer is no on both parts. There are people out there that can tell you they chose their own parents. How could you choose your own parents and you're not even born yet? God's the one that made the choice before we were born whether we would be a Jacob or an Esau, whether we would be a recipient of his grace or whether we would be a vessel of wrath fitted for destruction. God's the one that made the choice. That's called election, friends. This is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only that, this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. All of you people who are basing your theology on John 3:16 are teaching a doctrine of works, and not the doctrine of election. Well, I come against the doctrine of works. Man can do nothing to save himself, and that includes making a decision and letting Jesus into their heart, is what they say. The only way Jesus is going to get into your heart is if the Holy Spirit quickens you and causes you to be born again by the Spirit of God. Then you will believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God and he died for your sins according to the Scriptures. But not until then. The new birth has to precede everything else. So that's really what's on my mind this morning. I hear all of these ministers, including Doc Burkhardt on Rick Wiles, proclaiming these lies. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Doc Burkhardt. You know, you're not proclaiming grace, you're proclaiming free will. Decisionism is all it is. It's a lie. It's a strong delusion. There's a big difference between being born again and man taking credit for for what Christ has to do. And so, let us never forget that the only thing we can rest on is the completed work of Jesus Christ and His precious blood on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. All faith, belief, and repentance comes from our Father above, delivered to us through His eternal love. This gift of salvation was an eternal decree given to us by the Father in past eternity. Martha Reed Garvin didn't say anything about that. She talked about when she let Jesus into her heart and so on. Before the foundation of the world, we were adopted into Christ. This everlasting inheritance was purchased by a perfect sacrifice. Slain from the foundation of the world, it was decreed that He would die. He was manifested in time for such a worm as I. Yes, all faith, belief, and repentance comes from our Father above, and God's people are secured forever by this eternal love. Well, may the good Lord be with you each day. Thank you for joining us, Rick, Kent, and MJ Abelos. Let us never depart from the true gospel of grace. May the good Lord be with you today is my prayer. God bless.